Welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show. This is going to be one wild show today as Biden is getting clobbered by the polling responses to the deterioration on the college campuses, which we know half of the people that are arrested there are activists that are our summer of love, warm-up act for the next stage of Antifa, BLM, rioting, protest, mayhem in the streets. Biden is desperate to get this thing off the table, making Israel stop protecting itself, compromise with Hamas, and try to secure that vote and get the activists off his tail. But it's not working because they're going to metamorphose into the next phase of violence in America. And all of this is all part of a grand scheme, you could say, for the unraveling of the United States and also the recreation of the United States. Either one way or the other, America's going to come out of this year. The Republic, through the battle with the bombs bursting in air, the flag, will it still be there? Will it be like the Francis Scott Key Bridge having collapsed? I believe there's evidence that the flag will be there because a new generation of young people are rising up. Now, what does that also mean for you in terms of your stability? Well, the stock market is in the crosshairs, as well as the dollar, the paper dollar, as BRICS nations are all mobilizing in anticipation of America's chaos and its descending power as an economic force in the earth. I want you to remember this, that gold and silver soars when stocks crash. And so, you know, the old adage is, you know, you sell your stock in May and then you go away. That's what they say in Wall Street, and you come back later. I want you all to be thinking about how can you protect your retirement. Your IRA ought to be converted over, 401k ought to be converted over into gold and silver, some kind of commodity that is insulated from the American stock market and the American dollar. I'm not a financial expert, but that's the advice I've been given, and that's the advice I'm giving other people. You want to go to lancewalnau.com/gold, lancewalnau.com/gold. And we're going to begin the journey this year of seeing exactly how to protect ourselves, our country, and our wealth from the destruction of the left. lancewalnau.com/gold. Let's get into today's show. Well, this is the program I love to do every week. It's our firewall segment on the Lance Wallnau Show. We've got Mercedes Sparks in the studio over here, ready and on the air. And this is the Week in Review. So let's take a look at the big stories here. The big one is how the Biden administration has sabotaged Israel's ability to finally deal with the problem of Hamas. Their mop-up operation is taking them into the final stage. All the high-level commanders and all of the hostages being grouped into one part of the Gaza territory. Israel is prepared now to go in and finally deal with it. And true to form, the Democrats and deep state have gotten together and cut off the ability of Israel to do what it must do. And Hamas accepts a ceasefire now that they know that they're about to be taken out by Israel. The United States put a hold on ammunition shipments to Israel. People don't know that. The Biden administration this last week put a hold on all shipments of U.S.-made ammunition. In other words, you can get your billions of dollars approved in the budget with the strings attached for Israel that you can't use it. How about that? Well, you know, all I can say is the criticism couldn't be sharper. I don't understand why we never talk about the five U.S. hostages, not on the campuses, not on the goofball protesters that are out there. Why don't we have the faces of the American hostages that are being still brutally held by Hamas while we're supporting Hamas in its attack? I can't understand why that didn't become a story and why it hasn't been a story. It's kind of like the big miss, I think, on our side, and the left obviously doesn't want to talk about it. But this work by Biden is being done because they look at the Gaza protests going on the campuses, and they see this clearly as their left-wing base. By the way, their donors, their funders are supporting this assault on America, because now we're beginning to understand what guys like Glenn Beck and D'Souza and others have been saying, but it seemed absurd that there are people in our government, people with money, people with policy that want to dismantle the United States of America. They want to break it down. They want to remove it as a global power and make it basically as what can I say? They want to deconstruct the United States so they can have their Marxist recreation of America. As Americans discover this, the response is heartening, because I think we're finally coming to the awakening we were looking for. I think a great awakening's already begun. It's beginning with a civic awakening, kind of a, what in the world are they doing? I think the campus uprising has been an opportunity, actually, to put a highlight on the sick, toxic nature of the American academic community, having been taken over by the left, having removed conservative worldview, having removed any kind of a biblical worldview, having doubled down with government funding and support in the education of radicals for the future. We now see the sick state of the college campus. By the way, it was this way in the 60s, but we kind of memory hold that. We thought America moved on. It never moved on. It metastasized. The protesters that were leading the 60s are now the professors. And more professors are joining the ranks of these protesters. But I don't want to get ahead of myself on that. Let's just go ahead and go back in history for, it's amazing, just 3 days or 4 days, the breaking news. But I want you to hear the breaking news as we heard it on Fox News. Go ahead and play that.
Breaking news. We were waiting for just a moment a few minutes ago to make sure this was solid. Now the Associated Press is reporting Hamas has reportedly told Qatar and Egypt, the mediators of those countries, Hamas will accept the ceasefire proposal with Israel. Now, this reportedly includes a prisoner swap in addition to a stop in the fighting. The development comes as, of course, we were expecting the Israeli ground operation into Hamas's final stronghold in Rafah. So on the heels of Israel invading where their last stronghold was, where surely there is some Hamas leadership, they say, uh-oh, no, we'll go back to October 6th, because that's what we're talking about here. They had a ceasefire, and October 7th, Hamas broke it and slaughtered and raped people in Gaza, Israelis. They crossed the line. They crossed the line for humanity, and now they want a deal.
Now they want a deal? Well, they want a deal because the commanders are all in the segment of the city where Israel is about to mop them up. And so, that, of course, cynically, the United States brokers a deal. And for what reason? Because Biden wants to get reelected. The Democrats see this as, hey, you're just feeding this campus thing. And this is our base. Our base are the radical left wing, Marxist students and the high level donors. We're going to talk about that, that are funding the destruction of America. And we can't afford to lose them, because that's the Democrat Party. That's when the mask is off. They don't want the mask off. They want to put the mask back on it. But by the way, what's happening with these groups is we're discovering this is the dry run and the dress rehearsal for the Summer of Rage, just like we had the Summer of Riots in 2020. And you're going to watch this. It's going to repeat itself, because what Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, said, and we'll bring that asset up and show it to you, pro-Palestinian university groups are radicalizing U.S. students. New York City's Mayor Eric Adams this week warned the country's people that we are at risk from outside agitators who are co-opting the demonstrations. 50% of those on average arrested are not students. They are students being led by professionals. This is the Antifa underground, the BLM underground, the various radical left-wing, well-funded apparatus of anarchy. The problem is that as they are gearing up to their summer of violence and to this thing metastasizing into a greater and greater riot machinery, we're in a different place as a country than we were during the George Floyd riots, which we've gotten a chance to look at and realize that was a manipulated and contrived racial scenario that was being played out by the left. And it worked for a season, but it doesn't work forever, does it? Because people suddenly realize, what was that really all about? And then found out that BLM is a Marxist group. And then and that the money that they were making was going to the founders to buy their houses, but it wasn't going to people's lives. So the whole power of it has been broken in terms of its mystique of branding. And Antifa has never, because Joe Biden says Antifa is a concept, it doesn't exist, except for the fact that they're well organized and a minority of people, by the way. It shows how a minority of people, maybe 1,000 in America, can mobilize campus uprisings to the extent that they're moving from state to state, literally working with the campuses, working with the students, and manipulating the students into going in, to taking on buildings, to barricading. And this is going to lead to more and more violence. The point that I'm making is that it's a huge mistake on their part, because the American people are, I was watching Good Morning Joe, and Joe Scarborough was pleading with CNN to say, stop playing footage of the campus riots. Go to the hush money trial with Trump like we're doing 24/7. We don't want to talk about the campus because it's only helping Trump. That's why Biden needs this deal. He needs Israel to compromise its security. He needs Hamas to stay in power so that he can quell the narrative of the uprising on the campuses, and he can maybe secure some Arab votes that he's losing in a swing state like Michigan. That's how sick the situation is. I used to have a professor who drove me nuts because I became a Christian in college, and he used to say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you sick. And I used to tell him, you know, that's not what Jesus said, but he would always have a twinkle in his eye because it bothered me when he misquoted Jesus. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But it might make you nauseous when you first discover what the truth is. But ultimately, truth is redemptive. If you can get the facts, then you can deal with it. So the pro-Palestinian university radicalizing element is I'm going to take some pages from Ben Shapiro, passionate Jewish conservative apologist, going to play him in a minute, because we need to expose the funding of the Democratic Party is behind the funding of the Marxist left for the destabilizing of America, for its overthrow, so that it can be taken over, basically, by greater, more powerful, militarized, dictatorial, radical Marxists, who, by the way, their big complaint about Trump is what? It's a threat to democracy. Never in 4 years was he a threat to democracy, but what you're watching now is going to be the precursor to how America's going to go in the next couple of months, and I think it's going to be a backlash even bigger against the Biden Democrats. We got 2 minutes, Mercedes. You have a thought on this? Are you paying attention to what I'm talking about?
No, I am paying attention. I just hear somebody coming in the office.
Someone's coming in the door. Forget that.
I'm like, what's going on back there? Who is that? We're live. Anyways, no, I wanted to talk about like the college students that were, you know, protest, the anti-protest to the protest for the Palestinians. So these college students, I don't know if you saw this, but they're like chanting USA, America. Like, did you see all that? Where they fought to save the flag? And any of that footage? Because I think we have some, but that's what I was going to talk about. Look at this. See what I mean? The future is not lost, Lance. That's what I want to point out. Not every college campus is corrupt and crazy. Okay, maybe not on key. Maybe not on key, though.
That's all right. It's like a rugby scrum. That's how it sounds at a rugby match.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, if you're on the podcast, you can't see it, but.
It's got the USA chant. Yeah, this is interesting.
Isn't that interesting? All right. I think this is good. We can cut it, guys, in the back there. That's a lot.
Well, what Mercedes is talking about, and yeah, it does give one a thrill up the spine to hear America's youth, especially young men, that are actually moving more and more. They're discerning this spoiled elite group of kids that have it better than anyone else, getting government support to be in the Ivy League universities, and here they are basically advocating for the killing of Jews and the annihilation of Israel and the imposition of Islamic extremism as a new religion in America. And it's going down, as you can imagine, like a rat sandwich, as America digests it. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the big story here this week is the discovery that in the under 30 crowd that Trump is winning. He's starting to win over the under 30 crowd. Their values are more in alignment with him, a toxic masculine guy. And you're finding young men are more identifying with him than with Dylan McIlvaney. We'll be right back. I wanted to take a minute to talk about one of my great heroes of the faith, which is Mike Lindell. What's really cool about Mike is it's not just the pillow. It's the fact that the guy makes really cool products. For instance, I start my day off with my coffee. I had a cup of coffee the other day here in the office, and I said, no, I want that. It wasn't like Starbucks. It tastes better. And it was Mike's coffee. I said, what is it? They go, Mike Lindell's coffee. I said, my gosh. Get a bunch of my coffees. Now, the best way to start the day is you put on these slippers, right? and have your My Coffee. If you've not worked with these slippers yet, I'm not kidding you. There's a special kind of a design that Mike has put into these with four layers of cushion with a solid sole and a fur interior. I call it my sip and slip strategy. I start my day off by slipping on my slippers and having a sip of Mike's coffee. But you know what else I'm curious about now? Because I've got to check out the 2.0 pillow. The 2.0 pillow actually is designed so that it distributes the heat of your own head, your face, you know, you're lying there, and it makes it so the pillow's always cool. Now, I like that, because I wake up in the middle of the night and have to flip over my pillow because it gets hot. Mike's solved that problem. I want you to go to mypillow.com, promo code Lance, because you can get a discount that I've set up for the pillows, for the coffee, and for the slippers. And do it today, you'll be happy. Now we're talking about the counter protest, this moment of mobilized, aggressive, anti-American, pro-Marxist, anti-Semitic demonstration on the college campuses, 50% of which is agitators that are brought in from the left that are part of the bankrolled anarchy machine. You're going to find the names of Soros and the Tides Foundation, the Rockefellers, name it. And you're going to hear the familiar donors, but this is not going to continue to go over well with the United States as it watches the country being torn apart. I think the zeitgeist of America is so different than the 60s, so different than the George Floyd COVID era. I think there really is an awakening, and it's beginning to happen, because truth is actually more powerful than a lie when the truth can be heard, as long as you've got freedom of the press, as long as you've got the freedom of podcasting. You're going to see more and more people that coming under the influence of the facts. So let me give you some information here on Frat Boys Summer is this year's backlash against an epidemic of arrogant, entitled women, written by Miranda Devine. The New York Post has an interesting article, and I couldn't help but notice there's a manifestation of the growing political divide between men and women that has been evident in opinion polls for some time. There's a 10-point gap on most issues between men and women. Young, unmarried women in particular skew radical left, while young men are becoming markedly more conservative. So Trump is winning the under 30s by 5 points over Joe Biden, 48% to 43%. But I'll read some of this to you. The president is trying to splash around billions of dollars of taxpayer free education. Isn't it pathetic? Going to bankrupt America and give these kids that are already in the upper class, he's going to bail them out of their college debt in exchange for their votes. He's going to relax cannabis legislation. He's going to champion trans kids as the greatest heroes of their generation. He's going to continue inviting gender-fluid young TikTok influencers as the VIPs that are the new face of the decadent White House. But for all of that, the college gender gap continues. And listen to this. Did you know, Mercedes, that there are three women for every two males on campus? Guys are not going to college. The girls are all wanting to go there, and they're getting radicalized, and they're bent on. That's what you're seeing. You notice a lot of the spokespeople, a lot of these protesters are young girls.
Yeah.
And then the guys come in and take them over from outside and lead them. It's fascinating how that works. So we had that era of toxic masculinity where men were shamed to be men, and they were told that they shouldn't be leading. And then, of course, what's interesting about that is that you have the rise of the mama bear movement, which are the mothers. And what do you think they're doing? They're elbowing the men and saying, hey, get out there. What are you doing? So the men are reluctant. We're seeing the data is, and we've looked at it, that men are not engaged politically, are they? This is the psychological price you pay for shaming and abusing toxic masculinity. Well, you know what men do? And women, you know this, you that are older and more experienced and wise, you know that what a guy will do is he won't give in, he'll just pull back. And so the guy he pulls back into his man cave, he gets his rifle and goes hunting, he goes fishing. Basically, they still are guys, but it's like, all right, if I'm going to get harassed here, I'll just back up. But they don't change. They still are men. You don't agree with me?
No, I don't know. There's a lot of implications of the things you're saying, but sure. In this case, I will agree with you.
I'm speaking as an older baby boomer. Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying is true. You get quiet. You're not giving in. You just won't fight. You're not trading your opinion. Matter, you get together with other guys and you talk about what you think. Yeah. campus radicals who held a press conference to demand the Columbia University supply. If you remember that chick, she's out there reading her document for the world, and then she says that her comrades who are barricaded behind the building have basic humanitarian aid needs. They need water, they need food, and they need certain kinds of food. You know, I don't know, vegan food or whatever. But they really deserve humanitarian support for their bold stand. It didn't go over that well. The academic at Emory University screamed, "I'm a professor," when she was arrested for assaulting a cop. "I hit him on the head very lightly to get his attention. And then they grabbed me and threw me to the ground and arrested me." That was Caroline Follen. Then we had the activists in California stood up at a city council meeting, threatened to kill the counselors who opposed the Gaza ceasefire, and said this.
Wow.
"We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you," she fiercely vowed. The next time we saw Reedy Patel, she was bawling her eyes out in court after being arrested and charged with threatening state officials.
Do you think it just comes from, like, not disciplining kids? Do you think it was just that whole, like, kind of like that Gen X generation that was like, we're not going to be as strict as our parents are. Love the child. Is it that? Because when you watch this stuff, the amount of entitlement, like I just sent Will a clip that I want to play in the next segment. They're demanding hammocks at one university. Like, our demands are hammocks. And it's used in marketing that we have hammocks on campus. I'm like, what does this even have to do with Palestine? Like, it is so bizarre, the level of entitlement, and to think that there won't be any repercussions. I mean, for somebody to stand up in a city council meeting and threaten people's lives, like, it just reeks of a childhood tantrum, is what it sounds like.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that the deterioration of the family is at the root of most of the ills that you've got. But it still is the fact that you've got, to a great extent, liberal families sending their kids to these universities only to find that their child is being proselytized into a monster, and they don't realize, because they want their child to have the prestige of the Columbia degree.
Yeah.
So they're willing to trade off their child's psychological development for the sake of a sheepskin, which will give the family and the child more prestige, theoretically. Hmm. Want to read this to you. Regardless of Trump, Gallup polls show that the percentage of young men ages 18 to 29 who identify as Republican has increased 11 points. In a decade, it was 38% in 2013. Get this, it's almost nearing 50% in 2023. That's curious. Whatever the cause, 18 to 29-year-old men are now 30% more conservative than their ultra-liberal female counterparts. And this is going to have an impact on the mating, relating, and dating. I can remember one guy I ran into at the Gaylord. We were outside at night at a fire pit. And he's a big construction guy. I don't know if you remember this, but he and I were talking, and then his girlfriend joined us, and he's a business guy and building stuff. And I was talking to him about, he was asking what I was doing. And of course, I was working as a conservative speaker at an event there. And he was kind of like not saying what his proclivity was, but he said, "Yeah, man," he says, "what's happening with business? I'm seeing it. I'm a business owner." And he was saying basically he likes Trump's economic policies because they're pro-business, getting rid of all this legislation that ties up a businessman from being able to make money. And then his girlfriend shows up, and she, like, freaks out on me. I mean, a radical female, you know, feminist. How can you do this? How can you say that? And I can see her looking at her, and I knew immediately the calculus going on in his head, which is, you know, I'm dating you now, but now that I'm listening to you, I realize – I'm not going to tell you what I think about any of that. And I could see that girl ain't going to go anywhere with that guy in matrimony because he doesn't want to live with that. So and that's a microcosm of a part of that challenge. But it is interesting when you see these young guys that are, you know, picking up the flag or that are moving this direction. In World War II, I watched an interesting study done by a guy named Michael O'Connor, who is a PhD psychologist. And he was studying temperament. He said it's unusual. He doesn't know how to explain it, except that the universe, which would be God, somehow anticipates where the future is going and provides, like in the United States, there was an unusual surplus of dominant males that were coming of age in the 30s. Because why? Because the world was about to go to war. And so instead of having, you know, you got your different personality styles, you've got your, you know, your those that are more introverted and more relational. Well, there was a marked change, and it was as though nature in the United States and parts of Europe were supplying strong alpha males for the crises that was coming. And I think what's happening now is we're seeing a stronger, more masculine, grounded male is beginning to emerge from the rubble of the feminist movement and the left-wing beat-up and the LGBT chaos. And they're basically saying, no, I'm a heterosexual, and this is what I am, and I'm going to start to push back on the shaming and manipulation and intimidation of culture against my identity. And I think it's the early stage, but this is all going to fuel, I think, a further manifestation of that. Do we have any more footage you guys want to show on this, on the campus pushback?
I got the hammock thing for later, and then I think we might have some more video. I also wanted to say there is this new trend that's going on social media right now, and it's people posting before and after images with the text that says "the devil may scrap," and it's people who look LGBT that were thinking about transitioning, but then on the next page it's "but God has the victory, but the Lord is one," is what it says, and then it's like them back as a man or them back as a woman. So I'm telling you, Lance, like, God is doing something and people are waking up, like you're talking about. It's like, no matter what it is, whatever that lie is, you just get to a point God's confronting people, like you said, with the truth. And so anyways, I just think there's certain things to celebrate. I mean, there's one video I was looking at, almost 4.2 million views, of a man who has a picture of him as a woman, and then after it's like he looks like Mr. Country Guy. So anyways, I like to highlight the hope. What's going on out there?
And I think that's worth doing. And I just want to say to my producer, I sent over some Ben Shapiro segments. I don't see them here in today's video. So just an alert, we're going to come back. I want you to hear Brother Ben's assessment of what's going on right now in the debate regarding Palestine and Hamas. I want to zero in on this, him and Douglas Murray. And the reason I want to do that is because I want you to listen to how successful communicators are able to articulate information and knowledge. And when you put that up against the kind of propaganda utterances that are coming from the left, which are all designed to be incendiary, sloganeering, Marxist sloganeering, you realize young people are being programmed in what to think. We've given up on teaching them how to think. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things about Trump's presidency is such a hope is he will deal with this if America's ready to deal with the indoctrination on the college campus. Well, thanks for being with us today, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new four-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Lance to save big on all of Mike's best products. That's promo code Lance. Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.